Airbnb is suing the city of San Francisco. It's aiming to block a new law that would require each host to register with the city, or Airbnb would face a $1,000 fine. San Francisco is the home of the company and has been an example of the tension between Airbnb and city regulators. In today's View from the Top, our series of conversations with leaders, we're joined by Nathan Blacharczyk, CTO and one of three co-founders of the company. I spoke with him before the suit against San Francisco and asked him whether the goal of Airbnb was to eventually put all hotels out of business.
No. What we're doing is allowing people to feel like they live there when they travel, which means we're really creating a whole different kind of travel experience, one that really celebrates the different places, the different cultures, the different cities, and immerses you in that culture.
And to that end, what do you have left to do?
Well, I think it's still just the beginning, to be honest. Travel is a very big space. A lot of our growth right now is coming from places like China, Asia, more broadly. We've been focused on Cuba as well. We now have 4,000 homes in Cuba. Just a year ago, Cuba was a place you couldn't travel to.
And we're hearing, in fact, that about 75% of your business at this point is outside the United States?
That's right. When we started this business, 92% of guest arrivals was in the U.S. Now it's down to 24% of guest arrivals are in the U.S. 76% of it is outside the U.S. So this is truly a global business.
What's the most difficult country to operate in? Because I imagine that different governments are going to treat you guys very differently.
Well, Airbnb is in 34,000 different cities, 191 different countries. Most cities have rules around how accommodation should be provided. So this is, in a lot of cases, less a country issue and more a city issue. But that is the challenge, is the fact that there are so many different sets of rules. And oftentimes these rules date back 30 or 50 years ago, before there even was the internet. And so in this new century and in this modern era where the sharing economy is really meeting a demand that consumers have, cities are beginning to rethink what is sensible policy. And indeed, you see a lot of cities changing their policy to be more favorable to home sharing and more explicit about home sharing.
But then you have others who think that you're not being regulated enough, that the regulations should be more for Airbnb the way that they have been for hotels.
Well, the process of change, I think, is never smooth. And certainly when politics are involved, there are competing forces. So there are those, whether that be in the hotel industry or otherwise, that would prefer to see this new model not grow, not exist. But when policymakers understand what's going on, what we've seen as a general trend is that cities are very favorable towards it and pass policies that are supportive.
Well, I want to ask you about one case in particular that made a lot of headlines, and that was in the city of San Francisco. And there was a push to have new regulations, and you guys were against that. You won the referendum, that it worked out for you. But in the process, you had this passive-aggressive ad campaign that turned a lot of people off. It touted the $12 million the company had generated in city hotel tax revenue, and some people thought that was arrogant. What did you learn from that experience?
Well, we certainly apologized for that specific incident. So it wasn't our intention to come across that way. It's very easy when you're a fast-growing company to make a misstep every so often. You know, on the other hand, I do think it's a great testament to our commitment to cities that San Francisco was one of the first cities we partnered with to collect and remit taxes. To date, we've now partnered with well over 100 different cities. We've collected over $85 million of taxes. So I think it really shows the type of relationship, the type of positive relationship we can have with cities despite the politics.
And how do you, as a company that allows the user to kind of be the face of the brand, how do you control people that potentially discriminate against renters? What do you do about that? Because it looks bad for Airbnb when it happens.
Well, I think first, understand that what Airbnb stands for is the ability to allow our travelers to belong anywhere, in different communities, in different homes. And just 8 years ago, when we started this company, that seemed like a ridiculous idea. People would say, how can you ever trust a stranger? And so I think we've made remarkable progress in terms of changing people's mindsets to be more open-minded. I think the key is to create the right incentives. Some of the key elements to how Airbnb works is how we handle payments, reputation, and give people the information they need to make smart, objective decisions. So, for example, the guest reviews the host reviews the guest. Both parties accumulate a reputation, and accumulating a positive reputation is key for your ongoing success. Meanwhile, as a host, nobody stays in your home without you explicitly accepting or declining. And when you make that decision, we try to give you all the information possible. We show you, where does this person work? Where have they gone to school? Why are they coming? You can ask them questions. So we've done a lot to try to put some structure behind this process to help people make good decisions and to build the necessary trust. And I think we've made remarkable progress. But as you point out, there's still more that we need to do.
Well, what about that issue of discrimination, about racial discrimination, the idea that even if somebody's got a really good review, the owner of the apartment or the house could say, well, they've got an African-American sounding name. I don't want to let them rent my apartment.
I think the key to addressing that specific issue is surfacing more information so that such a person can understand and overcome whatever biases, prejudices that they might have. I think hopefully we can play a positive role in changing the way people think, as we already have, because frankly, 8 years ago, many people would have discriminated for reasons other than racial, for reasons of simply, I don't trust strangers. And it's something that certainly in the case of racial discrimination, of course, we do not stand for. And if there are specific cases of that happening, then we remove hosts from our platform. I think the challenge, though, is such cases aren't always obvious. And so we have to design the system to overcome any kind of implicit biases that might exist.
We're speaking with Nathan Blacharczyk, who's the CTO of Airbnb and one of the co-founders of the company. Nathan Blacharczyk, another thing that people have brought up about Airbnb, and this came up in San Francisco with that whole debate, was that it's driving up rents. This is just making it much more expensive for people to live in the city that they want to live in. How do you respond to that? Or is there anything that you see as the CTO of Airbnb that could be done about that to deal with that problem?
Well, this is a general point of frustration for San Franciscans, and that's understandable. However, Airbnb's role in that is not the source of the issue. There's been no data to suggest that Airbnb has any meaningful impact on the price of housing. And we've, however, have partnered with cities to take steps to ensure that it doesn't become a problem. So, for example, in San Francisco, we've made sure that every home being offered is a primary home in which someone lives. There aren't any people renting out multiple homes on Airbnb in San Francisco, unless it's a licensed traditional hospitality provider. And so we firmly believe that as a company that certainly hopes to be around for a long time, that it's unsustainable to not have a good relationship. So we really have tried to reach out and engage on some of these local issues. The narrative you sometimes hear about is fueled by those who just probably don't want us to succeed in the first place.
Why would they not want you to succeed? Because they're your competitors?
Competitors or other special interest groups, yes.
Who would you consider your main competitor at this point?
Well, you know, it's funny. I don't think we have too many direct competitors. Again, our value proposition is that you can live like a local when you travel. So I think what we're offering in the market is very unique, but it's also very non-traditional. And so these opponents I speak of would be traditional hotels, et cetera.
From your personal perspective, what do you think about the fact – this is a strange question to ask. I don't know how you'd even answer this, but what do you think about the fact that here you are, it's only been a number of years since you started this company, and you're a billionaire?
Well, that's not something I honestly think about too often. Of course, that's an unreal thing to think about. I often wonder, how did this happen? The way I describe it is it's like hiking up a mountain. You place one foot in front of the other, one step at a time, and it doesn't necessarily, you don't necessarily realize how far you've come until you take a moment to stop, turn around, and realize you're now above the clouds. So that's how I would describe it. It is certainly surreal.
And do you ever think to yourself, you know what, I've made my money, I've created my company, I should just retire at this point? Or is there something more that you want to accomplish with this company?
Oh, I think it's really just the beginning. So I absolutely never think about such things. We're really focused on continuing to innovate and realize the full potential of what we're doing. I think the big idea here is the democratization of travel. Now, ordinary people can participate in the global industry of tourism, whereas before, only well-established businesses that were well-funded could participate in this industry. It's opening up opportunity to many more people. And so I think that's a bit of what we've done to date, and I think we can still do so much more within this concept.
And I've read, by the way, that you still rent out your own home on Airbnb. I assume that's not for the money at this point.
It's absolutely correct that I rent out my home on Airbnb. You're right. Although in the beginning, when we started this company, we couldn't afford to pay rent. That's no longer an issue. however, I do think it's really important to stay close to the user experience. So I have guests staying in my home most nights.
That's Nathan Blacharczyk, who is the CTO of Airbnb and the co-founder of the company, one of the co-founders. Nathan Blacharczyk, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And by the way, Blacharczyk and Airbnb's two other co-founders have joined the so-called Giving Pledge, promising to give away the majority of their money to charity.